and brightest day, in blackest night, all other podcasts tremble in fright. Losers cower before the power. Orange is lust, and blues you can trust. Indigos feel, and white ones heal. Yellow scare, and green ones dare. That sapphire love and black hands glove will rock your foundation without hesitation. Chad and Mars face evil's might. Respect their power, for they'll make you see the light.
Hey everyone, I'm Mark Marble.
And I'm Chad Bokelman.
And this is the Lantern Cast.
Episode 652.
Woohoo!
I guess it's special because 52 means something to DC, maybe. Who knows? We're looking for reasons.
And we'll have to look hard. So we're doing Green Lantern 36. The cover title says Kyle Rayner under the knife, which... I don't know. The cover isn't so bad. It doesn't have much to do with the issue, but
that's got to be Montos, right? If I'm looking at the art style, right?
Maybe, because again, compared to what we're getting in the book, plus the mask looks more crab, mask-like.
Oh, it's not Eddie Barrows, and then a few others. It looks like it's a team tag work, unless they just mashed all the variant artists together too.
They could have. All right, so the actual title inside the issue. And what do you know? It's on the front page, the first page of the issue. Second Chances, Jeremy Adams, writer, I.G. Guaro and Montos are the artists, Romulo Fajardo Jr., the colorist, Dave Sharp, letterer, Eddie Barrows, Iber Ferreira, and Romulo Fajardo Jr. did the covers. We're not going to do the variant. We'll do the variants because there's only two. David Nakayama and Yasmin Putri, assistant editor Jillian Grant, editor Kathleen Wisniewski, and as usual, group editor Paul Kaminsky. So we pick up where we left off with Dr. Skin being revealed to be like this John Carpenter thing-like alien, talking about, hey, your skin suit will get top dollar. So we assume that this outer casing that he's putting these aliens in, he's getting the human bodies, and we're assuming killing them and just using their outer shells for these disguises. But we don't get a whole lot of explanation here. Kyle squares off against Dr. Skin for some reason unexplained, and who knows if we'll get an explanation, that Dr. Skin's able to penetrate and break Kyle's energy constructs. So he puts up a shield and he's able to go right through it. Luckily, Kyle doesn't get speared, conveniently enough. Kyle's not doing too well. Odyssey, who was on the table, reaches into her bag, pulls out her lasers, and she blasts Dr. Skin, who actually feels this. And Kyle is trying to be chivalrous, if you will, and try consistently throughout this part telling Odyssey to get out, and he's going to handle it. And Kyle reluctantly, because he doesn't feel like he has any other choice, he goes white, and that is enough to take out Dr. Skin and subdue him. Interesting part about this is the fact that Kyle is it his internal monologue says that, you know, every time he charges up he feels something tugging at him. I'm assuming it's just a power overload, but what if it's not? So to me, this is the first hint that maybe we're going to be revisiting the white entity, whether it's inside Kyle or not. Subplot. I would like to think that's what that means. So Dr. Skin is a burning mess, and Kyle reaches out. He asks Odyssey why she's there and about trying to get the scar, the star off her face and everything else, and how people are always going to be hunting her and looking for her. And he ends up placing a call for the Justice League to send someone to come take Dr. Skin away. We get this weird subplot with Big Belly Burger and this marketing guy trying to say, hey, you know, Big Belly Burger, what we really need are mascots to help sell our burgers and put us over the top. So you have these four mascots that are really freaky looking. I don't know if this is going to be – if this is related to Dr. Skin at all. We have no way of knowing, I think, at this point, one way or not. But needless to say, the exec completely shoots down these mascots, saying he doesn't even know what the hell these are. We just need our burgers. We'll sell our burgers, this kind of thing. But this marketing guy doesn't take no for an answer. He pretty much wipes. He has the mascots attack the executive's car. We assume they kill him, and we'll pick up on that a little bit later. Kyle and Odyssey are talking. Odyssey begins to start telling Kyle her origin, and who is the JLA / JSA representative to come and take Dr. Skin. Conveniently enough, it's Jade, and Kyle and Jade make goo-goo eyes over, you know, with each other, and they start pretty much talking to each other, ignoring Odyssey, like she's even there, and so it leads to some awkward conversations, and Odyssey introduces herself to Jade and everything else. Jade takes Dr. Skin, starts flying away. Odyssey points out, hey, it's like a, you guys had something, right? And it's like, oh, well, she's still into you and you're still into her. So Kyle at this point is able, has recharged enough to go green. He goes to Jade and says, hey, I have to go do bodyguard work for Odyssey at this premiere on Friday night. Would you like to meet me? And then we can go basically have a dinner date afterwards. And she says, yes. We fast forward to the premiere where Odyssey, who actually looks good in the dress, that Kyle looks so horrible throughout this issue. The artwork is really bad, especially for Kyle. That Odyssey, he introduces Odyssey. He does a real bodyguard kind of, in theory, a real bodyguard-like approach. He takes her into the building, and then he says, which is really stupid if you're a real bodyguard. I think you'd be hanging around no matter what, even if you couldn't go into that room. You'd be really making sure you were there. But he says, "Hey, go have fun, and I'll be here when it's over." And it's like, bodyguards can't come in here anyway. Plus, I got a date. I was like, Kyle thinking with his dick. So Jade's there. She and Kyle go to have a burger at a burger truck, and they're waiting in line. So obviously this burger truck is popular, and there's almost a kiss there. But then all of a sudden the burger truck starts screeching and just zooms right by the line waiting for them. And Jade and Kyle suspect something's up. So they go following the truck. Now we see that these mascots, these big belly washout mascots, are taking out this truck, and they're essentially making it, they're trying to monopolize and make sure no one else is selling burgers. Apparently in this town, this is big belly burger territory, as is proclaimed. Kyle and Jade get there too late to find the perpetrators, but dealing with the fallout, and they think it's not shock the way, you know, the food truck operators are just behaving. And of course that doesn't really matter, because a few seconds later they're together and they kiss, and that's the end of the issue. Next issue, there's one rule about being online: don't feed the trolls. That sums it up, Jeff.
Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Yeah, this is strange.
Look, I'll be honest. If we were to put a list up of all of Kyle's exes and who he had the best, you know, interactions with and personality building and growing together and so on and so forth, yeah, it's Jade. So like, don't get me wrong, I understand and recognize it's almost just a joke at this point for me to hate Jade because of it, but I'm honestly, it's also not, because it does leave a stink on the character for me. I'm sorry. It does it because of that moment towards the end of the Green Lantern series with Kyle, when she cheated on Kyle just by bringing some dude into the apartment and all of that. And he caught her in the shower and all that shit. Like, it's like, you know, it does leave a stink on the character for me. Yes, I should let it go. Yes, it was God. How long ago? 20 years ago at this point? I don't know. But yeah, so. There's just a stink on the character of Jade, so that it bringing her back and hooking her up with Kyle, I'm not as gung ho for.
No, I understand. I completely agree. We'll see if we ever get any follow up on the stuff about why Dr. Skin's so able to penetrate Green Lantern constructs. Seems like it's an interesting little quirk, but again, do we think we're ever going to get a follow-up on this? And like the next 5 or 6 issues, do we think we're going to see Dr. Skin again? I suppose we could, if he really is related to these mascots, maybe. But you kind of think that, hey, this is an interesting plot point that's going to be left dangling for somebody to pick up on maybe like 10 years down the road.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. The way he kind of shifted through the constructs reminded me of how the constructs don't really affect Galaxy in that story we talked about a while back with Galaxy and them. Galaxy and all of them and Star Sapphire, the Justice League Intergalactic Special. It kind of reminded me of that. I don't know if there's any connection, but I would assume narratively that these mascots are in connection with Dr. Skin. Maybe not the same species, but they went to him for surgery. I think they do have something to do with Dr. Skin because maybe not the same species, but definitely like went to him because Kyle says if he can remake anybody, I have a sinking feeling that more than one of the aliens I'm looking for might have come to see him, which means they could be. And then they intentionally page and panel cut to him saying anywhere over top of the introduction of this Big Belly Burger CEO meeting where we introduce the mascots. And then they turn out to be a powered threat later on. We don't see much of exactly their capabilities when they take on the food truck or whatever, but it does seem like they're connected, at least in that way, that he gave them their surgery to sort of blend into regular everyday life.
Yeah, I would agree. That was my first thoughts all along were that these were other, because his narration is making it clear that basically instead of the doctor to the stars, he's a doctor to anybody who escaped Oa who doesn't want to go back to prison. So
it's weak. It's weak. If these creatures escaped the science cells and fled to Earth, and we had to bring Kyle down to Earth with Odyssey and make his entire point of being here, aside from, Odyssey establishing a life and trying to find her place in the world, if we had to make the Green Lantern point of it all be that he's hunting down these escaped science cell prisoners, then why are we wasting time making goofy ass stories where they become crazy ass mascots for Big Belly Burger? Don't get me wrong, I always love DC world building, and just like when you're watching freaking Arrow and they would go eat at Big Belly Burger, or like that issue of or not that issue that episode of Smallville where we got first introduced to the JSA and Chloe was walking out of Radu's. Like, just seeing places in the DC universe just exist is fun world building and stuff, but like you add on an extra layer of ridiculousness to it. I mean, come on, like Fry Eyes, Sal, Lad, Big Shakespeare. Belly, and Shakespeare. Shakespeare is the only pun I like.
I know. I did like that one. I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
but it's look, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I love when comics are zany because it's a medium where you can do that. So like, why not get a little weird? And we've talked before in the past about how in Green Lantern comics, we should be playing with genre and tone. There should be romance stories every now and then and a horror bent and then a mystery. Comedy is a genre. So play with it and have fun with it. But for some reason, and I'm not an expert on comedy, some reason this just isn't hitting right for me. It just doesn't, this is ironic to say, but it doesn't feel like they're taking this series thus far since Kyle has taken over seriously.
No, you're correct. I mean, again, it's kind of sad that we're looking at this and we're going, well, As we're comparing bad issues to bad issues, it's like, is this issue necessarily worse than last? Well, you can make a case one strike against this issue is the fact that there's no Hal in it at all. Mm-hmm. So this is a big negative going to be for a lot of people that there's no Hal in this at all.
Which we'll catch up with, by the way, guys, whenever Hal reenters the picture, we'll talk briefly about the Emperor Aquaman stuff.
Yeah, this issue might be slightly better.
No, it definitely is. It's more. There's more actual Green Lantern action.
I'm not even going by some of that. I mean, there is, but I mean, mostly in the beginning, obviously, when he's fighting Dr. Skin. I mean, they fly off and they don't really do much of anything when he and Jade are flying off together, honestly. But mm-hmm. I know what you mean. It's still not good. I mean, no. it's less bad, which is I guess at this sad point of where we are that we have to take less bad as almost a victory, but it. The plot, I mean, again, the Odyssey stuff is a who gives a F enough And then you throw in this big belly burger garbage. And it's like, oh my God. And it's like, again, who is this book for? And again, even the Jade thing, which is somewhat going with nostalgia, and the fact that, yeah, this is the one girlfriend that didn't get stuck in a fridge that probably was the most important to Kyle. But the reality is there's so much baggage there. And it's like, oh, you know, and I understand there's a little bit of truth in, you know, it's like it's the time heals all wounds garbage. And I say it's garbage because it doesn't heal all wounds. It's just we lose that emotional tether to the pain. It's not as fresh. And that's the reason why we're consciously aware of what happened and how it affected us. We just don't have the same feeling because those nerves are kind of dead. As time goes by, but we don't feel that kind of emotional wave that those memories used to bring to us. But come on, there's 9 times out of 10 when there's baggage and things did not end well, that you know things are going to end the same way or similar fashion, because that's just the way things are.
Which is ironic given the lesson we just learned in Core, which is emotion gives context to time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think it does not make me want to read next issue at all. I don't care about these burger mascots and Odyssey is an utter fail. It's an, I mean, I will give a little bit of credit where credit's due, that at least we didn't get a lot of quote unquote screen/page time for Odyssey in this issue, but still, I mean, Odyssey is the one driving the entire plot. So Odyssey going, Kyle's able to sneak out and have his date, though again, he is kind of shirking his duties, that he is only able to do that because he's going to be her bodyguard for this. And it's like, I was like, come on. It's like, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, clearly, at least they're not setting Odyssey up to be a love interest for Kyle at the moment. I mean,
that's why they brought Jade back to do the whole, you know,
they could.
Love reenters the picture. Oh, wait, I think I'm actually recognizing I'm developing feelings.
Yeah. I mean, it would be stupid only because she's the one because she's literally the one that encouraged Kyle to like, hey, you know, go for it. But we've seen plots like that. We've seen plots like that before, even though Odyssey doesn't seem like the take one for the team kind of person based on what we know about her at the moment. It is what it is. It's like this book, you kind of just like you read it and you kind of just move on from it. And it is what it is.
Also, where the hell is Kyle's symbol anywhere in this issue other than on his ring as he hugs Jade at the end of the issue? Because right before he goes white, the page before that where Odyssey is shooting Dr. Skin at the very bottom, what's with that just green circle? That's the clearest shot of his chest we get other than the cover.
Plus, what's the deal with his ring anyway at that point? His ring's not even green.
Yeah, it looks like a Legion ring.
Yeah, he looks horrible. And again, it's like...
The haircut.
The haircut, because first of all, I know that's why... I assume they're trying to designate the fact that it's the sides of his head are shaved, but it just looks like it just looks gray. Now, at the end, when he's hugging Jade, is the best representation of what they're trying to get across. But it looks like that the sides are not cropped. It's just the fact that they look gray, number one. I mean, and like some people have said or asked, is like, hey, what do you think of Kyle's new costume? And like my reply was, it's kind of hard to really judge Kyle's new costume because we'd have to see it drawn by somebody who's a better artist to see if we would actually think the costume is okay conceptually as a costume. It's being right now drawn by somebody who doesn't draw at least Kyle particularly well. So the costume looks bad, and Kyle looks bad. Kyle looks nothing like Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we didn't know this was Kyle, especially when he's like pushing people out of the way when he's trying to get Odyssey into the building. It looks more like Agent Smith than Kyle.
Some people might say, Chad, aren't you being overly nitpicky by criticizing a haircut? No, I have that haircut. So the fact that I am still criticizing it means something.
Yeah, there's a few panels like when they almost kiss waiting on the burger line, that at least accomplishes what they're trying to get across, that he's got the sides of his head are shaped. But other than that, it's just early. And again, that's probably because it's two different art. That's probably a different artist in the beginning of the book, clearly. But the point is, then don't have two artists drawing the book. If you have just such a dramatic difference in not just styles and interpretations, but I mean, I don't. the answer to it, oh, they must be under the gun, and that's probably what they need people to draw pages. But the reality is the books suffer when you do stuff like that. And the artwork in the beginning of the book is Odyssey looks okay. I mean, sometimes when she says, hey, ugly pants, she looks like a dude. But Kyle is atrocious in the beginning of the book. I mean, it's easy to make Dr. Skin look good because we don't know what the hell he looks like anyway, and he's kind of freaky to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better than the last issue, but it's not noticeably better where you think, this book is gaining momentum, especially when you look at the solicits all the way through 39, and it's like, well, maybe by the time we get to 39, Kyle might actually be doing something or getting close to doing something. It just hints that Kyle's going to be helping, getting ready to go rescue / help Hal in issue 39, which means we have multiple issues of quote unquote slop we have to get through before we even get to maybe something that might not be. So yeah, I'm not going to say it's a lost cause, but this book is like, it's drowning. It's like going down for the third time.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that final page of them kissing, it's cool. It's well done. It's a full page splash. You know, there's nostalgia behind it. Like we talked about the haircut, you know, at least it looks decent here, so on and so forth. But like, just because of my unease with how their relationship has been, it does nothing for me. So like, this is better than the previous issue, but better is a relative term.
Yes. And better because the last issue was absolute crap. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if we were close, if we weren't 100% ready to declare last issue was like the worst issue of the entire run so far. So you have literally nowhere else to go but up. I don't know. This book's a very difficult read at this moment. This is a book where I'm speaking for me. If I didn't have to read this book because we're going to review it, I would absolutely be skipping this book at least first, especially this, because this had nothing to do with Hal at all. I would definitely be willing to skip a couple of issues just to get the summary online of what actually happened and go, oh, I'm glad I didn't buy that issue. And then you just wait for the next issue. And then if stuff finally starts picking up, then maybe you come back. But
see, something like this for me, the difference between something like this sucking and something like Absolute Green Lantern sucking is, at least if this sucks, we have the context as, you know, quote unquote lanternologists to approach it from our continuity perspective and not necessarily like show off how much we know, but criticize it not just for literal examples of bad writing or bad art that we can point to on the page, but demonstrate with facts that they're not paying attention to the own universe in which they're operating. So at least there's something we can offer people when we still dislike the problem. Like, I'm not trying to convince you or anything, but like, that's why I'm so easily ready to give up something like Absolute Green Lantern, except for the occasional check-in, because technically there's no continuity there to build off of. They're doing their own thing over there, so there's not much benefit we offer by constantly reviewing it and getting mad at it all the time, other than I'm pissed off.
No, I get it. Trust me. I absolutely get it. This is certainly not a book that I think at the moment either one of us are looking forward to reading.
Mm-mm.
And that's not what the flagship title should be. So let's see if it does continue the downward spiral, which we kind of suspected of losing sales. Like we mentioned, there's a slim chance that the Jade thing might mean something to someone, even though, again, Jade, that subplot is so long ago that how many people really are probably going to care about that?
Yeah, exactly. But luckily, we don't have to deal with it for another month. So
yes. Briefly, let's say, well, the DC Comics Green Lantern Hal Jordan limited edition bust, the McFarlane.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
That
came with the Power Ring replica. Of course, it doesn't tell you what size it is unless it's one of those adjustable ones, but usually they tell you. It says 1-to-1 scale, but that I don't know if that helps us based on
it. It looks good.
Yeah, but not for $179.99.
Nope.
That's one of those things where you kind of had a feeling, because they didn't tell you how much it was going to retail for when this was announced, what, last week, that this was coming out. It was like, oh, okay, this looks really cool. It's not the best bust we've ever gotten of Hal Jordan, but it looks pretty cool. It does look very resiny. Just, I mean, the way the body looks, and certainly the base is not good as far as it. It just the base, it kind of looks pseudo cheap because of the base, I think, more than the statue, the bust itself. But the fact that it's $179.99, it's like, no, that the ring is cool. The ring is kind of unique compared to the rings we see usually. It's kind of like splitting the difference between a square ring and a round ring. So I kind of think that's kind of cool the way they did that approach. But this is one of those things where, yeah, if you can find it marked down, you can find it. You can get a coupon code and you can get, you know, maybe not going to get it down to under 100. But as much as I like Hal and as much as I like my Green Lantern bust and stuff with ring displays and things like that, there ain't no way in hell I'm spending $180 on this thing.
Yeah, if I had a spare $180 to spend on a Green Lantern bust that came with a ring, I'd go on eBay and find those old busts that came with the ring of Alan and the others that I've always seen but never pulled the trigger on picking up.
Yeah, I'm looking at my Kyle one right now.
Those I always thought they were cool. Isn't there a Sinestro one or something with the yellow ring?
Sinestro, Alan, Kyle, and Hal. So gotcha. I think it's like the first. I think Alan's the first Green Lantern. Sinestro is the renegade Green Lantern. Hal is the greatest Green Lantern. And Kyle is the last of the Green Lanterns.
Yeah, I think if I were to get them, the first one I'd pick up would be Alan, then Kyle, then maybe call it a day there. But if I kept going, then it would be Sinestro and then Hal. But I thought they were cool. I also, the main statue I've always wished I could have, minor tangent, that one that's like a collect and connect, and it's got like the Guardians in the center or Alan in the center or whatever.
Oh yeah, there were three pieces of that.
Was there three or was it four? I thought it was three pieces that make up the round base, and then there was like a tall piece in the center. So I think there were
several pieces of Alan that you that you connect, and I think some. And that's the reason why I have the only one I cared about. I have the Hal one.
Gotcha.
The Hal one with the Guardians. One of them looks like he's either flipping you off or flipping gang signs. But I do have, I think I have, which is kind of inappropriate. Well, maybe it's not inappropriate considering where Alan is today, but I think I have the bottom half of Alan Scott. I think that statue came with the legs. I think I have to double check. I know I still have that part. But I never felt compelled to spend the money to get all the pieces together. But yeah, that was a nice piece.
I've liked that statue so much. There used to be posters that the comic book store could have advertising that statue, and I have gotten close to pulling the trigger of buying one of those posters on eBay. That's how much I like that statue. The other thing too, and I think you might have been the one to point this out to me. The snow globe that with the rings and everything on it, wasn't one of them like they did the Blue Lantern symbol wrong or something like that on that?
It wasn't a snow globe.
Well, I thought it was a snow globe. Wasn't there like a snow globe?
There was a snow globe, but it had nothing to do with Blue Lanterns. It had to do with, I think it's like Ganthet hovering over. I think Ganthet is like hovering over it, and then there's a snow globe. I'm trying to remember what's in the snow globe, but you had a whole bunch of Green Lanterns around it.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was thinking with Ganthet over the top.
Yes. Because I think I broke the guy piece and I had to glue him back on. I think at some point it broke. But yeah, that's cool too. The two things that I know that St. Walker symbol is wrong on, the Blackest Night St. Walker bust, the symbol is wrong on the base, and the animated St. Walker statue that the symbol, I believe, is wrong on his chest.
I apologize real quick, people. In my mind, I was thinking of the JLA Trophy Room Green Lantern rings display replica that has a little dome.
I have that too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because the dome made me think snow globe.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. Anyways, all right, what's next?
One last thing I thought was interesting, because as I usually do my most interesting work from a post-mortem on the show perspective when I'm in the shower, I thought about this related to Brand New Day, the trailer, that if we take the scene in the trailer and assume that it's not spliced together, this is an actual conversation between Spider-Man and the director of Damage Control about how not only can Spider-Man sense the mind hopping, but he's immune to it. the plot that crossed my mind, not that they necessarily will do this, but maybe the reason Spider-Man would be immune to it is because he's literally the only person on the planet that already isn't being mind controlled by some extent, because he was the only one not physically affected by Doctor Strange's spell. Because everybody else was made to, their brain was tampered with because of the spell, but his wasn't. So maybe. I mean, they could obviously explain it because of his power somehow. But the thought crossed my mind, well, that's the one thing that would make him naturally less susceptible to mind control, because everybody kind of is being mind controlled to a certain extent, even without them knowing it.
Yeah, maybe.
And then you had Tom Holland come out this week, of course, and talk about how there's one person in the MCU that still knows Peter Parker, Spider-Man, which, of course, as you know very well, Chad, it goes down this pet peeve road of everybody goes, oh, it's got to be the Hulk, because in the comic books, I will be willing to bet it's not the Hulk. For multiple reasons, because it makes no effing sense for it to be the Hulk. The Hulk has never even seen Spider-Man, the real Hulk, in the MCU, let alone met him, let alone interacted with him, let alone know his secret identity, let alone being able to make sense of that in his seven-year-old brain when he hasn't been out in 8 years. So none of that makes sense, because his only way of knowing that Peter Parker was Spider-Man anyway would be from Banner's memory. And if Banner forgot, then why would the Hulk remember? Because the Hulk hasn't come out. Good.
So is the person who's supposed to remember him, is that supposed to come into play in this movie, or is he just talking about in the MCU in general?
Well, see, that depends on what you believe. There's a rumored post-credit scene which would answer that question, supposedly.
Because if it's not in the movie and it's just the MCU, I would bet it's probably Cap.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
There are two logical characters much more, and what annoys me about the Hulk thing is when people say, oh, it's a real simple thing, and if people are making it more complicated if you don't accept it, or you're being a contrarian if you just don't want to buy into it. And it's like, no, it doesn't make any sense in the MCU. You can do it, but you have to retcon it to make it work. So it's not that people are being difficult. It's that just because it's Spider-Man and the Hulk had long-standing interaction in the comic books. These effing characters have never met in the MCU. But the point is, yes, there are two logical choices. One, you can make a case of the Vision, because the Vision's not a living being.
Yeah.
So maybe the Vision wasn't affected. We know the Vision got all his memories back. But Cap is a logical answer. He was not in our timeline to begin with. And if you believe the rumors, he may not even have been in our universe anymore. He may have been in a different universe by the time the spell was cast. And Cap would know who he was, just like Banner would know who he was from the beginning of Infinity War. Excuse me, the beginning of Endgame, when all the missing heroes presumed dead were on those screens at Avengers Compound, and Peter Parker was one of them. So everybody who didn't know Peter Parker was already Spider-Man would have known Peter Parker was Spider-Man because of everything that was coming from Avengers Compound. So, Steve Rogers is the most logical one, because he would have learned it then, and then he would be out of the universe and not affected by the spell. So so that's what I would bet on. It's not the Hulk makes no sense the way we understand it now, because if the Hulk had come out one time after Endgame and before the spell, then I would say you might have your out, that information may have cemented into his brain and that he was not on the stage when the spell was cast. So his memories might remain. But that hasn't happened. So it makes no sense. So I would say yes. Thank you for saying that. I 100% agree that based on what we know, if it's going to be one character that. It would be one Avenger. I forget. Somebody said he said one Avenger. I looked at what he said. I don't necessarily think he said it was one Avenger. He said it was one person in the MCU. I think, agree. It's Steve Rogers is what I would bet on.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. Short one this week, folks. But don't forget, GL June is still going on. So check that out. It is wrapping up at the end of this month with the blog/podcast of OA. Will already put out his stuff over at Green Lantern's podcast. So all five parts are out. And by the time you hear this, maybe the finale. But if not, keep an eye out. And I hope you guys enjoyed GL June. But in the meantime, if people want to reach out to us, what do they do?
LanternCast.com, the website, and the email is LanternCast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, like us on Facebook, #GLCast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, wherever you listen to us on. Please leave us a positive review. Last but not least, if you'd like to leave us a text or a voicemail, 708-LANTERN, and let us know what you think.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.